welcome to another podcast on lead-acid batteries. In today's Q&A session, we have Ramesh Natarajan, a veteran with over 42 years of hands-on experience, having an insightful conversation with a guest who is asking him a lot of questions. Enjoy the session.
So, good morning, Mr. Ramesh Natarajan. How are you doing today after...
Good morning. You know. It's so, nice after a long time.
Yeah, should I ask you, how are you doing today after 2 years of starting your first episode, or I mean, or maybe like 40 years of experience in the battery industry?
The 2 years of podcast, they have been very enjoyable. Of course, the 40 years in the industry has been very, very enjoyable.
Yes.
And it has been very enlightening also, and that's the reason the podcasts are also doing reasonably well, and people are also giving a good response to the podcasts.
Right.
Yeah, it's because those 40 years have been really, you know, very educative, and anyway, batteries have been my passion, so I enjoy doing the podcast also now.
So, I mean, at what point, I think today is the month of April 2022 was when you published your first episode.
Yes.
At that point, Mr. Ramesh, what was it that prompted you ki I should go use technology and, you know, come up with a podcast focused on lead-acid batteries? What was the driving thought behind it?
See, basically, I wanted to serve the battery industry.
Correct.
Now, serving the battery industry, how do I serve it? It's better to use technology and reach out to people all over.
Right.
And it's easier when you use technology. Okay, I had already experienced technology in a different manner, in the sense ki when I started writing for in Quora and answering questions in the year 2015.
Right.
And by the time I started this podcast, I realized ki there have been a lot of shares, appreciation, responses on email to me.
Right.
And you know, a lot of upvotes on that medium.
Right.
Another thing what happened with Quora is Quora themselves also send you a lot of questions in the field in which you are answering.
Right.
In fact, Quora itself, I got into it by chance. It so happened ki whenever I was asking anything on Google, mm-hmm. whether it's for comparing appliances or anything related to health, fitness, or diet, or whatever. And they used to take me to Quora.
Okay.
And I started looking and reading those responses. And sometimes there were conflicting views also. Mm-hmm. Somebody will say, this is good for health. And somebody will say, no, that is not. Actually, that will aggravate this situation. You know, I used to think, what is this? Then I said, let's see. One day I just said, let's see whether they've written something on batteries.
Right.
And then I found, yeah, there are a lot of people answering something on lead-acid batteries and contributing, you know,
towards the battery thing.
Then, I used to read that and say, this is okay. But one day, it so happened, I read something about capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incorrect.
Okay.
The way the capacity was explained and all that.
Right.
And I'm just giving an example.
Right.
So, the battery capacity. So, I said, how come this person has written like this? Now, I did not want to say you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, instead of that, I put the correct answer there.
Mm-hmm.
And after a few days, I saw that that person has removed that wrong answer.
Yeah.
Then I said, oh, that's good in a way. Like if you're giving something correct and if somebody has made a mistake also, they are removing it. It's possible to delete. And there were some things like why do batteries burst or catch fire? Mm-hmm. So, there were some reasons given by that person, but it was not a complete answer.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose there are 10 ways by which this can happen. Maybe he had mentioned 3. So, I said, okay, I'll answer that question also. So, there are many people who answer. Mm-hmm. It's not that only one person can answer. You can put your views.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. And then for that, though, there were so many upvotes. And then I used to put my email and website also. And people started asking me questions directly on mail.
Okay, so that gap of, probably it happens even today that we live in a very opinionated world.
Hmm.
and people are still looking for the expert in the given industry.
Yeah, I mean, if they feel that what you have said makes sense and it is correct and they are convinced or whatever it is, I don't know what is the reason, but certain things, you know, when you write, and that motivated me to write articles.
Right.
And then I started blogging also. And then I said, okay, let me try videos. I did try a few. I went into videos because that time YouTube, you know, I was also told, Are, why don't you make videos? I had some responses from the industry also.
Right.
Saying, why don't you make videos? You are able to explain things very well. But then I was not very comfortable speaking to the camera because you're looking at something inanimate and it sort of like not threatens you, but it's something overpowering.
It's overwhelming, basically.
Yeah. So I feel that I'm talking to something, looking at an object and talking. Somehow I was not comfortable. Then I said, okay, I'm able to express, but the camera is sort of giving me some sort of a, you know, jitters or... a discomfort feeling. So I said, only the voice is good. Then I came to know, okay, there's something as podcast. That's how I got into podcasts.
So like you had these memorable instances on Quora and, you know, so is there something like a highlight or a memory that you would you retain while you're in your 2 years of podcast journey?
See, one thing about podcasts is I can say podcast is, my voice has traveled to 87 countries now.
Oh, wow.
I myself have not traveled to many of those.
But the podcast has taken you to 87
countries.
Yeah.
And the response from those countries are also, you know, really they motivate you a lot. I mean, right from South America to certain countries like which I've not even heard of. And... I mean, that is something which is very encouraging, and even those people, they get back to you, they put some comments, you know, I write on LinkedIn, I post these, I make a small post and then give the link of the podcast.
Yes.
So I get a message directly, you know, first is they ask for a connect or whatever, then they become,
a part of the LinkedIn network.
LinkedIn network of mine. And then they send a message privately saying that this was very good and I had some questions. And then, you know, I'm able to interact with them. And sometimes they ask doubts that also, you know, it's done on a one-to-one basis. But, I mean, that's a very good experience. You feel nice about it.
Yes. And similarly, I mean, also you have published your book, Batteries Demystified, which is right now an Amazon bestseller. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
So, what is it that the readers will gain from the series of books that you have published?
See, the first book was very, very basic, so to say. But that was the one which was most appreciated.
Right.
But the reason is, you know, there are books on batteries. But when, I mean, they become more industry focused.
Yes.
And, you know, somebody who already knows about batteries can read it and understand the chemical reactions. And, you know, certain things are considered as already known to the reader.
Correct.
Whereas I wrote this book in a manner that the reader doesn't know anything about batteries and let him understand what are the things which go into a battery.
Right.
What are the machines required to make a battery.
Right.
And I put the process flowchart in that. I also have given photographs of the machines. And I've written how the what are the various types of batteries.
Right.
And the first chapter, I have even compared a functioning of a battery and, you know, explained the various terms as voltage, capacity, series connection, parallel connection and all, compared it to a water tank.
Okay. Okay.
So, how to, you know, I've written something very, you know, basic to make them aware of what is a charger, what is a inverter or a UPS system, what are the different types of UPS systems. So, in a way, that way it's very basic. But certain universities in India, I got calls from them and they've taken books in bulk. And a few of them are using it as a textbook. And they said, we want for the library also. So, I've couriered them books and they're very happy about it. And there are a lot of industry people also who are buying this book and using it for training of their new employees.
Right, right.
And in certain engineering colleges, they have taken these books.
Okay, okay.
So, that book has been very, very well received.
So, it cuts through a diverse audience IQ.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the second book, of course, was aimed at service engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a Batteries Demystified for service engineers. And the third book was a translation of the first into Hindi, because a lot of people in North India asked for book in Hindi. So that was just a translation. Of course, even a translation involved a lot of work because it's a technical book.
Yes,
so
yes.
Even when I got it translated from outside, I had to spend a lot of time in redoing the book. And the fourth book was a FAQ for battery users,
mm-hmm.
because in that, people ask why lithium batteries are not used for so-and-so application, or what are the problems in using a lithium battery, or can a lithium battery be recycled, why lead-acid batteries are not used in EVs. There are so many questions people have.
Right.
So, all these questions I have addressed in the fourth book, which is a FAQ for battery users.
Yes.
And now I'm working on a book which is for battery designers and manufacturers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, when is that expected to be available?
That will take time, because now what has happened is I've again gone back to doing a few videos also.
Okay.
And the Insight series is doing very well.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to also amalgamate PowerPoint with the video.
Okay.
Because what happens is video, okay, it's good. But when it's for a long duration and you're just talking and talking, it becomes a little bland, is what I feel.
And people need a kind of a reference point while they're watching a video, especially if it's a technical video.
Yes.
It's a good idea too. Yes, right.
So what happened, they also can, you know, pause the video and take down the points as bullets, which, you know, I put it on a PowerPoint.
Yes.
So if they want to even take a screenshot of that, or print it out, it's possible.
Okay.
So that is what I'm doing. So now the next book is getting a bit delayed.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing I have started parallelly is I have started writing on Medium.
Okay.
Because Quora, no doubt, is very good. And Quora helps me a lot in terms of what is the content people want.
Yeah.
So, for me, Quora is also acting as a resource.
Yes.
For, you know, I get to know what the audience wants.
Yes, yes.
So, Quora is helpful that way. But I'm now turning a lot of those things into articles. Full-fledged articles and putting on Medium.
Okay.
So there are too many things on my hand at present. Yeah. Really.
You're like a full-time knowledge influencer now. So if I've seen in working with in the industrial sector, a lot of experts in the industry who are also looking at using these platforms to leverage their knowledge. So what is the advice you will share with them? Wherein they get that, that push button start. You know, a lot of people have a issue with starting up. So for writing a book or, you know, getting on producing a podcast, what is it that will give them that push to get started?
Very difficult, because for everybody the push is a different thing.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm concerned, I feel that if they keep making notes of mm-hmm. various things,
yes,
whether it's their experience, I have done a couple of podcasts on case study type.
Okay.
And I've narrated it like a story.
Yes.
I would love to, like, you know, narrate all, record all podcasts like a story, but it's very difficult in a technical podcast.
Right.
But some case studies I have narrated, you know, they are really actually good stories or something like that.
Yeah.
And that those podcasts have given a good response.
Good response. Okay.
There have been a lot of downloads of those two.
Those ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
But suppose somebody is doing a podcast, and if it is not technical, it's very easy for them to tell like a story.
Yeah.
Because that will be very well received for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody in the industry is wanting to do a podcast, unless they have the content in a proper manner, it need not be like first process, second process, and then the third process. You can do the third process, the second later, the first. It doesn't really matter. But basically, you have to have well-researched content on whatever you're going to talk.
Yeah. So
make a note of it and then
yes.
Relate.
So the podcast. First step you are advising is to have the content in place in any random order also will do.
Yeah.
Then take your time and convert it to a linear order and then narrate it as a story.
The story will be very difficult for an industry.
Yeah.
But the story is for people who are talking about something else.
Yes.
I mean, if they're getting into podcast on some other field, but in the industry, if it's a technical thing.
If it's a case study, then it's relatively easy.
If it's a
easier.
Case study, it's possible. But if it's not a case study or something, then have a notebook, have this content in place.
And then
weave something around it and then start talking about it.
Correct.
But then you have to have this and you got to keep learning on a daily basis.
Yeah. I mean, learning should never stop.
Yeah. It shouldn't stop. And actually, in fact, you're learning every day something.
Every
you're not realizing
day.
It. Yeah. But then if you note it down, whatever you've learned, then you realize that this is a lot that I've learned and which can be converted to a podcast.
So what is it? So, since you said that you're learning and learning is a two-way process, you share knowledge and you gain knowledge. So your entire journey through the podcast, through the books, through the videos, I mean, what is it that you have learned about lead acid batteries from your users?
From the users or the battery manufacturers, I wouldn't say I've learned about lead acid batteries, but I've learned a lot about the problems they face and some of the problems they face or somewhere where they are getting stuck is something which, you know, sometimes I can't believe that somebody can get stuck in such a place.
Okay.
I mean, he may be doing something wrong, which I would never imagine that, this is the reason why he's getting into this problem.
Something at a very micro level. Yes.
So sometimes when they ask something and I tell them this, are you doing this, then somewhere I say, he says, no, this though I'm not doing at all. I say, how come? Then I come to know, okay, this is the problem.
All right.
So that is also one more source from where I get content for my new podcast or a new insight video or for a new article or a blog.
Correct. So Mr. Ramesh, now this will be the 50th episode that will go live.
Yeah.
And I think till the 50th episodes, there have been a lot of building blocks from basic content to advanced content to case studies. What is your plan from the 51st episode to the 100th episode? I mean, what should the audience expect from you?
See, most of my podcasts have been in English.
Yes.
I have tried a few in Malayalam. I'm not very, very conversant, but okay, yeah. I've done it.
Did a fair job.
Yeah. I mean, I had to take help of Google in certain places also. But then I also got a response, you need not go too much to Google. You can mix Malayalam with English.
Yes.
It doesn't really matter
English.
As long as... Minglish. So now what I'm thinking of doing is, okay, instead of going too much technical into Malayalam and trying to make it perfect or something, I'm trying to do a few of the podcasts which I've done in English in Malayalam.
Okay.
Similar experience has been with Hindi, but Hindi has given me a much better response.
Okay.
Because there's a wider audience for that.
Yes.
And Hindi relatively is very easy for me.
Yes.
Even compared to Malayalam.
Yes.
And so I would like to convert a few of my podcasts to Hindi.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, I think, only one or two in Marathi.
Okay.
And a few popular ones I'll do Marathi.
So you're looking at broadening the reach in terms of the demographics, the geographies.
Yes, I'm trying to do that in terms of broadening the reach within India.
Yes.
Because there are certain podcasts which, people have heard in English and they immediately call back directly and say, sir, please do this in Hindi.
Okay.
And I say, give me some time. And I've been asking for time, but I have not found time to really do that.
Yes.
Because the next podcast in English, then something else comes from somewhere else.
Right.
I've been saying, okay, I'll do this also. I'll do something about alloys, something about mixing, something about curing, something about paste additives. But that's English is being the very easy thing. I've been, going on doing that and keeping this on the back burner. So between 50 and 100, there'll be more of translations
then.
And
you've reached 87 countries. Now you're going to reach more states in India.
More states in India. Yeah.
Okay. So now there are two sides to you, Mr. Ramesh. One is a technical side, the other is a publisher side.
Hmm.
So at the publishing level, you hit, I think, all the platforms possible.
Hmm.
But what would be the advice you would like to give a 2-year earlier Ramesh Natarajan who started off? I mean, if you were to start all of this again, what would that be? I mean, what would be the best practices you would want to follow?
I don't think I've made any mistake in this journey of 2 years.
Yes.
Because the responses which I've been getting have been, you know, validating that, okay, I'm on the correct path, or I've been giving the right content.
Yes.
Or there has been nobody saying that this is wrong or this was incorrectly done or nothing like that.
Yes.
Not that I mind it. Actually, I like the feedback which is of a different nature also. In the sense, if somebody had, you know, given a critic's feedback also, I would have taken it in the right spirit.
Right.
Because that is what always helps any person who is creating something.
Yes.
The customer feedback is very important. And it helps us to improve any critical feedback. But then one thing by myself, what I've noticed is I've not done any marketing.
Yeah.
Or I've not put any effort into the marketing of either my book or, you know, in terms of advertisement or something like that.
It's an organic reach that you've got by
But till now. I'm still not sure whether I should be doing any marketing, but many a times, many people from various countries also have been, you know, saying that you want to market this book. I'm ready to do it.
I
can do this. I can do that. I've not done that. Maybe if somebody is starting, you know, they can do both simultaneously too. It's possible
because there are
agencies who are ready to do it.
Yeah.
But quite a lot of them have been contacting off late.
Yeah.
And I'm yet to decide on that.
Yeah.
I've not done it as yet.
But you say that looking at a combination of organic plus a little bit exponential through marketing is probably a good mix to look at.
Yeah, it's probably a better
A better mix.
But I wouldn't say that I've done anything,
yes,
you know, not very satisfactory in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
No regrets. I'm happy.
So, I mean, I don't know if it looks like a tacky question or something, but any freebie you want to announce in this podcast for your audience? I mean, there's so many platforms where they can, you know, access your knowledge. But anything that you want to, you know, announce like a takeaway for your audience?
What is the takeaway? The only thing they pay for is the book. So the book is the only thing which I can give free.
So how do they get in touch with you? Is there like a limited offer or something like that?
I don't know how to answer this question now.
Yeah, let's do it now. The first 3 emails you get, for example, will get a set of your book.
Yeah, it's okay. I can do it for 5 reposts on LinkedIn.
5 reposts on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's nice, actually. Yes, yes.
Yeah, because email, you know, people wouldn't know also.
Wouldn't know. Yeah. Correct.
I mean, whether, you know, I've got 3 or 5 or I've not given whatever. I mean, I don't know what to say. But 5 reposts is on a public platform.
Yeah. So the audience that reposts this, the first 5 will get a set of your books.
The fourth book, which is the FAQs.
FAQ book. Okay. And I think that's a more broad book for a generic audience.
Yeah, it's a broader book for a generic audience.
All right. So any, I won't say concluding, but any advice that you want to, you know, 3 best takeaways for your audience in terms of being a knowledge influencer? Top 3.
I would only say that, almost all the people who are, I mean, either in the industry or an expert in any field for that matter, whether it is hospitality or food and beverage or, you know, engineering industry or a process industry or pharmaceutical, I think if they've spent about 30-40 years in industry and they've gathered a lot of experience, I think they should share it.
Yes.
In whichever way possible.
Yes.
Because that helps the youngsters.
Yes.
And
so sharing is step number 1.
Yeah, sharing is 1. The second is if it's possible, you know, other than these media like podcasts or YouTube,
yes,
if it's possible, write it I mean, it need not be a book. It can be even blogs and articles.
Yes, using platforms like Quora and Medium, as you rightly mentioned. Medium and all that. Yes.
And, okay, even if they have a, even if they don't publish a book or whatever it is, have something like a, not a newsletter, but some, you know, a some workbook or whatever, and share it on your industry platforms.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Now, if I'm in the battery industry, I've now my book is on Amazon. It's available
yes.
to all.
Yes, yes.
But okay, if I don't want to go to such a wide audience, mm-hmm. okay, at least for the battery industry, wherever there's a conference or something,
yeah, share, contribute there.
Yeah, contribute there in terms all these articles put together.
Yes.
Or something like that. Make something. So these three, I these think, three. Will, you know, it will serve the community.
Correct, correct.
And correct. It preserves your knowledge yeah. and whatever you spent.
Yes.
I mean, you've done a lot of hard work in whatever 30, 40 years or whatever.
It becomes tangible.
It's a tangible asset which you're leaving.
Yes, yes. So congratulations, Mr. Ramesh Natarajan. Once again, 50 episodes is a lot of hard work. It's a lot of consistency. Books, your videos, and I wish you the very, very, very best for celebrating the 100th episode, which we will record very soon.
Yeah, we'll do it, sure.
Thank you.
I don't know, very soon. It may take 2 years.
Let's not give it 2 years now. All right, Mr. Ramesh, thank you for your time.
Thank you very
much.
Have
a nice day.
Please do visit www.rameshnatarajan.in. Keep yourself updated about our new releases by hitting the subscribe button.